those things are confidential. So.
Yeah. It didn't go to the whole board. It just went to the ad hoc.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the special meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. And Ms. Harper, could we have a attendance, please?
Good evening. Director Kelly?
Present.
Director Susana?
Here.
Director Ohilski?
Present.
President Sparks?
Here.
Thank you.
Good evening. The item before you is the final change order. This is for the Madonna contract. They were awarded the project for the upgrade of the booster pump stations and several other facilities around the community. This is the final change order. There's no fiscal impact to the CSD, but these are for paving requirements by the county at the end of the project. So I believe the sum is somewhere in the order of $14,000, and staff recommends the board approve it, and we can sign this last project off.
Before take public comment, any questions from the board? All right, with that, we'll take public comment. And so if you could please proceed to the podium and state your name.
Richard Margetson. Recurring question. With this change order and the sentence on the back, I guess it's the second page at the top, the district anticipates requesting disbursement of the remaining funds for money spent to drill the South Bay well in early 2008. Therefore, full utilization of the $5 million IBANC budget will be realized. How will this affect the charge off to the IBANC loan for Mr. Milanis' salary in this year's budget? Did you understand the question? Okay. Thank you. That was it.
Yeah, Mr. Milanis, can you respond for that?
Yeah. Essentially, what we've got at the end of these projects is the $5 million is just about used up. We've got $45,000 in under budget. What we're asking here is for the board to approve the award of the $14,000 due Madonna for this extra paving work, which leaves a sum of about $31,000 under budget. And then what we would look to do is request that final reimbursement for the district's. Of course, we've got expenditures on the well at South Bay, but certainly it's just going back into the coffers. So that certainly could go attribute to my part of my salary as well. So it's just what it comes down to, a $31,000 remaining budget from the whole.
Mr. Shipp.
I believe what Mr. Margeson is getting at is that we allocated a sizable portion of Mr. Milanis' salary to the IBANC projects, and direct answer is no, we're not going to be able to charge all of it off. However, as George just mentioned, we have the $30,000 that's there. So it won't cost the community, but we can't charge off all of George's salary against that project.
Is it fair to say, Mr. Shimp, that it's a matter of, do we allocate the prior charges to the South Bay well Mr. Shimp. Is it fair to say it's a trade-off between allocating part of Mr. Milana's salary versus the prior expenses that were not to the IBANC that can be now for the South Bay well?
Yes, sir. That's okay. Correct.
Is there any other public comment, actually? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any other director comments or questions? Do I hear a motion?
I would move that we authorize final change order for IBANC project contract number one and direct staff to execute that change order.
I'll second.
Okay, motion and a second. We have a roll call. Ms. Harper.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that occurred very
afterwards, or during the presentation, yeah. Is that a promise? Oh, no.
Okay, before we go to the next agenda item for the meeting, actually, you'd like which is scheduled to start at 7, I'd like, again, could we please have it quiet, please? There's a lot of people here tonight. It's going to be difficult to hear. Could we have a report out of the previous closed session from Mr. Seitz?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. This is reflecting back on the January 6, 2009 agenda. For those of you that were in attendance, you might recall that we had a closed session prior to the open session, and then we returned back to closed session at the conclusion of the regular agenda. And so this will constitute a report out. There were three items of litigation that were discussed in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B. This was the Los Osos bankruptcy case. During the closed session, they did hear an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. Again, there was a discussion regarding the Los Osos Community Service District versus the American Alternative Insurance Corporation. This is the insurance litigation. The board heard an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. We did discuss the PZLDF et al. Versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board. That was discussed at the closed session prior to the open meeting. I did report what was discussed during that part. The board did further discuss that at its second closed session on that night. And again, we heard an update from legal counsel. Some instructions were given to legal counsel, but there was no reportable action. Lastly, under personnel, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, the board did receive the resignation of its general manager effective February 5th. The board did form an ad hoc committee consisting of President Sparks and Director Kelly to seek and evaluate candidates for the position of interim general manager. And that's my report out of closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. And with that, we're going to go to our general action item for tonight, which is the presentation by the County of San Luis Obispo staff to the LOCSD Board of Directors on the draft environmental impact report for the Los Osos Wastewater Project and future areas for county and district cooperation. And just a couple of notes on logistics before we start. Following the presentation by county staff, I wanted to segregate out multiple comment periods. What we're going to do is county staff will make their presentation to the board. At that point, we're going to take public comment, and then following that, we'll probably take a short break. And then what we will have are some question slips, question slips that Ms. Harper has. She's going to put them in the back. So during the period when the county's making their presentation and then during the public comment period, if there's questions that are you'd like, please fill those out and return them over to our staff, our general manager, or Ms. Harper. She's going to assimilate them. And then when we take that short break, we're going to go ahead and we'll go through the questions up here, and so if there are any duplicate questions, we can sort through those, and then after that, I'll go back to our board, just so that everybody understands the logistics. I did that just because I wanted to have multiple opportunities in different forms for the public to respond tonight. And so, with that, I'd like to ask our staff if they have any comments prior to introducing county staff. Nope. Let me state a couple other things. As part of our district's response to the draft EIR this last Tuesday, we had a staff report, and our staff is going back. They had our district engineer provided some preliminary comments, and in conjunction with the water purveyors, we are continuing to formulate a coordinated response that will go to the county. The deadline is the 31st of January to submit those. Our district will consider those at a special meeting on January 29th, Thursday, in which they'll bring that back for our consideration and approval, as well as part of the process for the district to respond. Our Water and Financial Committee, again, tomorrow at 6:30, is having a meeting. That's one of the items on for the public to provide input as well. So the multiple opportunities for people to respond, as well as people as county staff will.
A process that's led to an extraordinary analysis of some very important options. The first 6 months of this year are going to be crucial. We face a number of very important decisions. The information that will be presented tonight really is the centerpiece of our decision-making process. And I am excited about this, and at the same time mindful that there are some extreme challenges ahead of us. Affordability has always been foremost in the minds here. We are encouraged by what we hear coming out of Washington. Specifics have not been provided us yet, but we are extremely encouraged that the new administration is seeking to invest in just the kind of project that, that this wastewater project represents. So, with that, I will again indicate my availability to your board and, as we have for quite a long time, the community to discuss any and all of these issues. I think it's probably best to turn it over to those who are going to give you the details tonight. Look forward to the public comment. And with that, I'll introduce our Director of Public Works, Pavel Ogren.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Bruce. Good evening, President Sparks, members of the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Services District, staff, and public. As Bruce mentioned, my name is Pablo Ogren, the Public Works Director, and the heart of the presentation today is going to be provided by Mark Hutchinson, our Environmental Division Manager, and next to Mark is Gene Talmadge. He is the Project Manager for the Environmental Impact Report employed by the environmental consultants Michael Brandman Associates. This evening, I'm going to just cover a couple of the introduction slides and then turn it over to Mark and Gene. And then at the conclusion of the presentation, there's a couple, at least one other slide about some of the areas where we believe that county and CSD cooperation will best serve the community in the coming years. Especially in 2009, I look forward to this year. It's always been the year in our project schedule where we anticipate decision-making with respect to, you know, what project is going to move forward. Overall, today's topic is going to provide a project update. We've been doing project updates to the board on a monthly basis in 2008, a weekly basis in 2007. Some of the highlights of the EIR that Mark and Gene will go over, the overall background, the approach, areas of impacts. One of the public comments that we've gotten over the last couple of weeks is some comparison to the Santa Margarita Ranch Development Project, which I believe had 11 Class 1 impacts and certainly was a controversial land use development project. Mark's going to go through the fact that on the Los Osos Wastewater Project, we've identified one Class 1 impact. And so a project that provides environmental benefits such as this one still has some impacts, and they'll be going through it. And then some of the technical CEQA procedures, and like I mentioned previously, I'll be going over some of the areas where we'd like to focus county and CSD coordination in the upcoming months and years. Just really quickly, major milestones that have been accomplished, and I promise not to go through these as much time as I did last Tuesday for the benefit of our newly elected supervisors, Frank Meacham and Adam Hill. But in any case, certainly we've been able to check off a lot of the boxes in the last roughly 2.5 years since June 19, 2006, board policies that were the legislative platform and our beginning project strategies. AB 2701 later that year. Of course, in 2007, it was the rust screening report and the fine screening report, which were engineering analyses in order to start focusing in on the primary project options from an engineering perspective. Obviously, as we've proceeded into the EIR, some of that alternatives analysis had to be expanded in order to make sure to comply with CEQA. Also, the rust screening and fine screening reports were especially important as what's called the basis of evidence for the Prop 218 vote that occurred later that year. TAC pro-con analysis was important, and last Tuesday we were glad to recognize all of the TAC members. The board supervisors adopted a nice resolution in recognition of their efforts. 2008 included a lot of technical memos. I know I've said it before, but it sort of bears repeating that typically in an EIR process, the technical memos that are produced by the various consultants in coordination with the environmental impact report and the environmental specialists are often a back and forth that those professionals do amongst themselves. But because of Los Osos and our desire to have as much transparency as possible, of course, draft technical memos were reviewed by by the TAC in a public forum, again, to, in order to maximize transparencies. The Prop 218 vote, of course, was very successful, with 80% of the property owners who voting in favor of it. Even if everybody who didn't vote had voted no, it still would have passed by more than 50%. And then subsequently, the EI design build statement of qualification process at a minimum, and to see how fast we can get ready to proceed with the construction of a project in order to be able to put ourselves, yourselves, and the community in the best position possible to obtain stimulus funding. Because as Supervisor Gibson mentioned, affordability has always been a concern, and with the possibility of stimulus funding coming forward, it's certainly something that we need to pursue on behalf of the community. Project status, mentioned the community survey that will be out on the street within the next couple weeks. Basic turnaround time on that will be about 2 weeks. Our survey consultants have indicated that in responding to surveys, really we have to get it out on the street and then expect people to respond in a relatively short period of time, or people tend to shelve them and they don't respond. Again, Mark's going to go through the sequence process, and I had mentioned stimulus opportunities. So here I'm going to just take a few minutes to talk about the stimulus opportunities, because certainly we've already gotten some public comment that, you know, is concerned about the recommendations that we brought to the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday when they appropriated additional funds in order to fast-track some of the work efforts. And some of the emails or public comments that I've seen have indicated that we're abandoning our current process and efforts. That's simply not true. The challenge is that there's another variable that's come into play, and that's the stimulus opportunity. So how do we adhere to, you know, the promises that we've made to the community on pursuing, you know, design build for the benefit of having private industry compete on different options, the community survey, and the EIR process? And so I was very clear with the board on Tuesday that, well, we wanted to fast track, move up some efforts, specifically the facilities plan. And the facilities plan is the documentation that we need to get to the State Water Board for their approval to get, whether it's an SRF loan or stimulus funding, because right now every indication is that the stimulus funding for wastewater projects will go through the EPA's SRF program. Now, that makes a lot of sense, because the federal government is not going to be doing any earmarks on stimulus. Both Vice President-elect Biden as well as President-elect Obama have made it clear in public speeches that at the federal level they will not be earmarking specific projects for funding. As a result, what they'll be doing is, if it passes, but you know there certainly seems to be a lot of momentum for the stimulus package, is that they make the allocations to the states, and then they use essentially existing decision-making processes in order to identify which projects should get stimulus funding. So from federal funding to state funding to local funding, that process goes through the State Water Board today, and so it's completely reasonable to expect, as the writing is on the wall, that decision-making on stimulus funding will go through the State Water Board. Certainly it's advantageous to Los Osos, because the Los Osos wastewater project has been, you know, high in the minds of the State Water Board for many, many years. And also the Prop 50 applications, the grant applications that we've previously submitted, have also gone through the State Water Board. And for those who've been sort of following all our details, will recognize that in both rounds of Prop 50, the Los Osos wastewater project was the project that was just below the line on obtaining project funding. So in essence, Los Osos has ranked very, very high for state grant funding. And we believe that the primary criteria that has prevented us from being able to get the grant commitment from the state is simply the readiness to proceed. Clearly, the state is looking for projects where they're through the draft EIR process, where they've got, you know, funding lined up, where the permits are lined up, and the readiness of a project to proceed to construction is high in the minds of the state officials when it's awarding grant funding, in part because there is limited grant funding. That same type of expectations are what we see for stimulus funding. And in the draft legislation that's out there right now, there's consideration for having 25% of the wastewater-related stimulus funding having to be awarded within the first 90 days, 25% within the first year, and then the following 50% within 2 years. In our timing itself, we're making, you know, every strong push that we can in order to get prepared. Certainly, one of our concerns is appeals and litigation that has been a history of the wastewater project, and whether or not those might delay our ability to proceed and be ready for stimulus funding. But nevertheless, the action in front of the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday was to appropriate sufficient budget so that we can move this facilities plan work efforts up front. And Supervisor Frank Meacham asked me some questions about these parallel efforts. One of the reasons why the facilities plan was originally anticipated to be done after project selection, after the final EIR, and after the coastal development permit was obtained was simply the county has already committed $6 million in this phase of work, countywide taxpayer money, in order to help move the wastewater project forward. And that facilities plan, those additional funds that would be necessary, we had anticipated doing essentially after the ability to sell assessment bonds so that those would that work effort would essentially be funded by the community. For background, project alternatives, overall approach, areas of impacts, the comment period, and then I'm going to wrap up with next steps. And you know, there's obviously a lot of different emotions that fly around with the in association with the Los Osos Wastewater Project. You know, in front of the board, the comments that have been received have really recently taken a different tone. At Supervisor Gibson's office hours last Thursday night, assertions that the county process is akin to prostitution or it's a scam. It's really one of those things that I believe that Los Osos needs to be moving beyond. Certainly there is room for good, civil, positive public debate on the decisions that are coming forward. But in addition of moving forward with the wastewater project, certainly it is our hope that the individuals in the community that want to see this thing solved, that want to move forward, are also going to be willing to come up and speak and support. And certainly Mr. Sparks, as the president of the LOCSD, I recognize that you have your challenges. In some respect, I think that you almost have the perfect board, though, at this point in time. You've got members of your board that were essentially agents of change in 2005. You've got members of your board who are focused on moving forward. And in all practical respects, it's a very balanced board representing the different, you know, voices and constituents of Los Osos. We look forward to working with your board, supporting you as we can. Again, I'm going to talk very conceptually at the end of the presentation on some of the things that we see as the best opportunities, and at this time I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Hutchinson for the EIR presentation.
And just briefly again, there are some people that may have come in, and before we go to Mr. Hutchinson, and we're segregating public input. We'll have a public comment period after the presentation by county staff, but also following that, there will be a question period, and so we have some slips for questions out in the back. Is that right, Ms. Harper? Okay, so if you could put those out in the back now. So as the county has gone through their presentation and as county staff goes through it, if you have questions, if you could fill out the slips in the back, and then at the end of the, through the presentation and public comment, and then at the end of that we'll break, and then we'll go through questions to county staff following a short break at that point. Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Hutchinson, Department of Public Works. Good evening. I am the Environmental Programs Manager there. I'll be doing the bulk of the presentation. I have our consultant EIR project manager with me, Mr. Gene Talmadge.
Hey, just a second. If we could, I know we're still handing out slips, but if we could have it quiet so that everybody can hear Mr. Hutchinson.
So, and Gene will be helping us respond to questions as necessary. The slide I have up right now is, again, the areas we're going to cover that Pablo mentioned, focusing on the EIR. Before we get too started into it, I always like to show this slide, which repeats the basic purposes of CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. These are straight out of the statute. So here's a document that's about providing information about environmental impacts, not that there aren't other kinds of impacts. This document focuses on environmental. It's about identifying and preventing environmental damage, again, what we call impacts. And one of two of the ways that we do that is to consider mitigation, which is compensation for impacts and alternatives, which is doing it a different way to avoid the impact. The document, the statute, encourages public participation, and it is really the key document that we exchange with other agencies that, for one reason or another, might be involved in the project to give them information about what the project is and what our view of the impacts are. This is a brief flow chart of the environmental impact process that starts up there in the upper left with initial study. And we've gone all the way through to the first line on the right, draft EIR, and we're now in the public review comment period. As you know, the statute requires a 45-day minimum comment period. We've pushed that out to 78 days, beginning in the middle of November, and ending on January 30th, the end of this month. Once we get the comments, we'll prepare a final EIR, which essentially consists of the draft, any modifications necessary to make it complete, the written comments, and written responses to those comments. That document will also go out for public review, and then it will be certified at the Planning Commission at a public hearing that will be combined with the consideration of the coastal development permit. When we set out to write the EIR for this, we have a very large team of people working on it, and we felt that it was appropriate to develop some guiding principles for the document so that everyone would be on the same page with it. We focused on, obviously, a document that's legally adequate, which is our basic charge. We wanted the analysis to be objective, to respond to the alternatives analysis that's required in CEQA, which is the California Environmental Quality Act, also in NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, and it is what's called a CEQA Plus document by the state, meaning that it also addresses their NEPA requirements. But LCP stands for Local Coastal Plan, and the LCP also requires an analysis of alternatives. So we combined those concepts and expanded them and put them into the document. The best way to do that is to approach the alternatives analysis the way that NEPA does, which means you do a co-equal analysis of multiple alternatives, starting with project goals and objectives. As it happens, this document developed four alternatives that all meet the project goals and objectives. The project itself was subject to a peer review by the National Water Resources Institute, so we also incorporated their input into the document, and you'll see it there, I believe, in the project description area. There were some specific objectives for the project, so that all alternatives had to meet these objectives. Obviously, we have to address groundwater quality, which is combined with the reason for the Regional Water Quality Control Board's waste discharge requirements and their prohibitions. We had to consider water resources, certainly mitigating the project's impacts on water supply and saltwater intrusion. And then we set a goal of maintaining the widest possible number of options for beneficial use of treated effluent. So the alternatives were developed with that goal in mind. Obviously, the goal of an EIR is to minimize environmental impacts. We're very cognizant of project costs, approaching those from a life cycle perspective. And then last but not least, we need to make sure that the project we develop complies with the applicable state, local, and federal permits, land uses, and other regulatory requirements. This is a unique slide, I think, to a lot of project processes. We call this the EIR architecture. Typically, you have a big, thick document, and then there are a number of appendices. This one, in some ways, is no different. But essentially, the EIR main document, I have a copy on the desk here, which swelled to some 400 pages, includes all of those topics listed in the large blue box. But since there's a wealth of information on those areas typically covered by EIRs, like groundwater and cultural and geology and visual, we summarize that information in the main document so the reader can get the sense of what was studied, what the background is, and what the results were, and then quickly drill down to the appropriate appendix to get the detailed information on that particular topic. This was prepared this way so that people looking for information at different levels could more easily navigate through the document. As far as project components go, just as background, EIR covers the wastewater collection throughout the community and conveyance to wastewater treatment plant sites. That's the difference between collection and conveyance. It covers the wastewater treatment process and solids disposal that come out of that process. It talks about effluent disposal, which is a combination of spray fields at the Tanini site on Turi Road and leach fields on the Broderson site. Should point out that all four of the Level A alternatives, those that are subject to the detailed co-equal analysis, have the same effluent disposal scheme, which again is a combination of spray fields at Tanini and leach fields at Broderson. We covered solids processing and disposal, and we also covered water conservation measures because those are a part of all of the alternatives. This is an early map that was drawn, but it shows you the breadth of the treatment and disposal alternative sites that were addressed in the document. Everything from the previous project at the Midtown site with disposal at Broderson, and then moving east of town, going all the way back to the northern site there, the Turi Road site as it's labeled, which was a treatment site selected in 1987 by one of the first projects that was developed. In the EIR, we looked at three levels of alternatives. A level is where we have the full co-equal analysis. Those are the Giacomazzi Cemetery, Brannan sites that are all north of the cemetery, and then Tanini site farther east. The B level, which for those of you who are CEQA aficionados, would be your typical set of alternative sites. We included analysis of the Midtown site, bringing it forward from the last project. Andre Robbins, which is at the eastern entrance area of the community. We included the Turi Road site from 1987. And then we did something on the Giacomazzi site. That's identical to the A level, except we analyzed the effects of adding tertiary treatment, so that if the project, either in its initial go or later on, decides to include tertiary treatment, that also is addressed in the EIR. There were several other sites that are considered but not carried forward into the full analysis, but they are listed there so that they have a placeholder in the EIR, so to speak. Of course, to be Giacomazzi only, picking from alternative two, you would have a viable alternative. There are two types of collection, step and gravity, three types of treatment. All three types of treatment can treat effluent from either type of collection. So you can see that there's a mix-and-match capability to this. These are a little bit incomprehensible, but this is the kind of information that you will see in the EIR. This proposed Project 1 shows the step collection, so the red lines represent pressure lines there in the community with Broderson marked clearly. Here's the options for treatment at Giacomazzi, and you can see that it would require some use of cemetery and some use of Brannan for that particular facultative pond, and then effluent disposal on the Tanini site as well as bringing it back to Broderson. If you go to a gravity collection, that's represented by blue as gravity, and these red lines are force mains. A very similar project as far as Broderson and Tanini go. You can hear in the treatment thing, by going to an oxidation ditch or a bioac, which are extended aeration processes, takes a little bit less space, so it could fit on the Giacomazzi property. And Project 3, very similar, except we bring the wet weather storage back near the treatment plant for easier manageability. And then Alternative 4 is to simply take everything that was located north of the cemetery and move it out onto the spray field site. I won't list these off, but the EIR does have the full breadth of impact analysis areas. All of these areas are covered in the document to one degree or another as appropriate. These may be named something different or combined different than the previous documents, but in general, all of the EIRs that have been done over the years cover this same general suite. The one that's different here is the addition of impacts on agricultural resources because of the addition of the Tanini site to the list of project alternatives. Samples of the key findings, we found that there were no long-term significant impacts in all of these areas. Some require mitigation, some don't. But there is a significant unavoidable adverse impact, and that is to agricultural resources. That should not be downplayed. Again, there is one significant unavoidable as opposed to other projects, but it is a significant unavoidable impact. There would be no way to implement any of the four alternatives without the loss of agricultural resources in the Los Osos Valley. One of the areas in the EIR that's interesting is that of greenhouse gases. And in fact, we actually produced an amendment, I don't know if amendment, an update to the greenhouse gas analysis that's in the document. We had one of those situations where the consultant mixed their metric and English numbers. I think NASA did the same thing, and it didn't turn out well. So we've posted the new information on the website and distributed it to our email list before Christmas so that people could look at it. What's interesting about the greenhouse gas issue is represented by this chart. What you're looking at in the dark purple bars is the greenhouse gas footprint of the entire community, everything that goes on in Los Osos, energy use, lawn mowing, to and from work, trips in the car, all of those kinds of things. You can do that analysis several different ways. It always comes out to about 151,000 tons of CO2 equivalent per year. Sounds like a big number. But again, greenhouse gas analysis tend to come out that way. If you look at the legend here on the right, it says other. That's the greenhouse gas footprint of all the other activities in the community. This one down here with the little blue square says wastewater. And if you look very closely at the bottom of each of these bars, there is, in fact, a wastewater component. So this one on the left, our current septic tanks have a greenhouse gas impact. Down here, there's a little bit from alternative 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it's an interesting analysis that though we have different alternatives and we have existing wastewater treatment, and those impacts are different as illustrated in the EIR, the numbers go from about 830 tons a year to a high of about 1,600 tons a year. Again, sound like big numbers, but in the context of the community-wide greenhouse footprint, they seem to be a little more realistic when you look at this chart. So it'd be an interesting exercise to see how we deal with greenhouse gas if we put it in the context of the entire community footprint. Nevertheless, Assembly Bill 32 does require us to take whatever means we feasibly can to reduce those greenhouse gas impacts. EIR comments. The state CEQA guidelines, which are part of the California Code of Regulations, give us some guidance on how we should focus our comments and what those comments are for. Again, I can emphasize the due date, January 30th, 2009. The reason we request comments is we need to share expertise information. We want to disclose agency analysis. That's primarily for other agencies that would be involved in the project. We need to understand across the street, also at San Luis Obispo Library, and a hard copy at the Public Works Office in San Luis Obispo. That's a hard copy of the entire document, including the appendices as well, if you don't want to spin a CD. You can take a paper copy home of the primary document. Simply check it out at the Public Works front counter. There are still many copies available. They've been going in and out. Some folks like to take their own paper copy and mark up on it. The best way to do that is to get a CD, take it down to your nearest copy center, and make a deal with them on what sections you want printed. You may not want them to try to print the entire document, but you can specify what sections you want if you want to make margin notes to support your comments. So next steps, again, January 30th, we produce a final EIR by making the revisions necessary to respond to comments and to any design build proposal information that we get. We're looking for EIR certification at the Planning Commission together with the Coastal Development Permit. You want to make a note, we are targeting April 23rd for a Planning Commission meeting on the EIR and Coastal Development Permit about 4 months from now. And with that, I'll turn it back to Paavo for some closing remarks.
Certainly. Thank you, Mark. President Sparks, members of the board, again, as I mentioned, just a couple of items that are sort of our food for thought today on county CSD coordination. Certainly the first one is water supply. I think that, as your board knows, that certainly after AB 27-1 was adopted, we sent a letter to the CSD asking for input on the project development efforts, especially from a water supply standpoint. Since then, the district and the county and other parties have agreed to the ISJ, the interlocutory stipulated judgment, which is essentially saying that through the court proceedings of the groundwater adjudication, we will all work together to try to figure out how to solve some of the water supply issues. That work effort certainly very important, and as I understood from some remarks today, that the comments from the district on the draft EIR are going to be coordinated with the water purveyors as well through the ISJ process, and I think that's great in order to sort of, you know, compare notes when when commenting on the draft EIR. I think that, you know, the ISJ is challenging in some respects because as a part of a litigation resolving, you know, something through groundwater litigation and in the judicial process itself, it just simply doesn't lend itself to, you know, all of the openness of some work efforts like we're doing on the wastewater project. And that's, you know, for the public, I think it's important to reiterate that's not a choice of your board. It's not a choice of the county. It's not a choice of, you know, the other two water purveyors. Groundwater litigation in California is just simply done that way through the purview of the courts. And so, you know, I think I can make the general remarks that I'm very pleased with the coordinated efforts that are ongoing through the ISJ and continue to look forward to those moving forward some more. Conservation, water conservation, certainly the county has incorporated conservation measures into the draft EIR, but the CSD is one of the purveyors here in town who actually pumps the water for potable purposes and delivers it to homes. You know, we see a lot of possibility for coordination on water conservation measures. Wastewater operations we put up there, and that's recognizing that AB 2701 says that after a minimum 3 years of county operations, the system can be returned to the CSD, subject to county, the board, the county board of supervisors, your board, as well as I think the regional board. So multiple parties will have to be involved in that. But if there are specific things that your board envisions from an operational standpoint that you would like to see incorporated into the project, then I think, you know, commenting on the draft EIR and with that respect is very important. Outreach to disadvantaged persons, that's an aspect that we would very much like to see working with the CSD on. Certainly, you're right here with the community. And how that gets done or who takes the lead on it. I think some of the members of your board have spoken to our board during public comment on the need for coordination on outreach to disadvantaged persons, and we certainly see that as being very important also in coordinating with your district. Then some of the upcoming formalities, rights of way or licenses, Assembly Bill 2701 gives us the ability to obtain, you know, the easements and such licenses that were previously developed by your board, and we will be needing to take action to the Board of Supervisors in 2009 requesting those, and I think that that's a work effort that we'll be coordinating. Again, that has to be initiated by the county through some sort of a resolution identified in AB 2701, but we expect that to be on our calendar pretty soon. And then the ultimate fate of the Midtown and the Broderson sites. The environmentally superior alternative does include utilization of the Broderson site. I think it's important for fish and game and confidence of the resource agencies if the county and the CSD had some sort of an MOU in order to make sure that that property was dealt with appropriately. You know, if the future use was to be identified for a park or for some other type of public purpose, then maybe that kind of stuff can be incorporated in the MOU as well. Point being is that we at the county recognize that there's sort of a twofold issue associated with that site. One is that some sort of coming into compliance with the prior permits has to be done. We don't really want to get those details wrapped up into our project, but certainly consideration of an MOU between the county and the CSD to address those regulatory issues as well as what the potential future fate of the site might be are things that we are certainly open to start discussions with. And with that, I think we've concluded our presentation and turn it back over to your board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Okay, so at this time, just a reminder, we're going to have a public comment period and then followed by a break and then question period. So there are speaker slips in the back still, Ms. Harper. So there's speaker slips. So if you have a question, please put it on the slips in the back. They'll go over to our staff over here, and then we'll bring those back to our board after the public comment period. Yeah, the second one, the question period, Marshall's going to sort through those questions, see if there's any duplications so that we're efficient. And in a moment, we're going to start with the public comment period. And understand, this is the presentation to our board for our consideration. We are submitting comments. If we could have it quiet, please. We're going to submit our comments to the county at the end of the month. So please keep in mind what Mr. Ogren talked of in terms of also the stimulus package and further cooperation. And I think what would be helpful for our board is comments to what you would like our board in terms of responding and in terms of future cooperation. At this time as well, I'd like to, because of the meeting logistics, like to get a rough idea of how many people wish to actually do public comment. Can I see a show of hands? See it. 25, so that'd be about, okay, so that'd be about 50. So why don't we go ahead, because we have a second forum for the questions, I'm going to have the public comment at 2 minutes so that we can get to the questions at a reasonable hour. So we're going to set it for 2 minutes each.
I have the time set.
And then if you can, if we can keep a line formed up behind the podium so that we can... Okay. Mr. Seitz?
Yeah, Mr. President, if I might, I've been fielding a lot of questions up here, and they're sort of the same question. And the question that's been posed is, do I have to do one or the other, or can I do them both? And that is give the public comment at the podium and turn in questions. And the response is you can do both. So if you turn in a comment, a question card, you're not precluded from giving public comment at the podium. And if you're giving public comment at the podium, you're not precluded from turning in a question slip. So you can do both.
You could even do a comment in the form of a question later if you feel you've missed something. Okay. With that,
if you do have comment cards, there's an open table right here. You can place them here, and I can easily pass them down. Thank you.
Are we ready to go? Okay. So if you could line up, and we'll go ahead and take public comment. And again, it's pretty crowded here tonight, so... And this building echoes quite a bit. So, for respecting the speaker, if we could have it as quiet as possible, so that our board can hear the speaker.
Okay, David Los Osos. First, I'd like to remind Pavo and others that work for the county, as well as the supervisors, that according to the Brown Act, the public has the right to question, to make comment, and to criticize the actions of...
I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're not going to have an efficient meeting. We need this for our boards, and so I can't have, Mr. Clark, I can't have interruptions from the crowd. If you're to interrupt again, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
But on more than one occasion, I have brought up items that aren't attacks, that are factual, and they've been characterized as attacks, and then blown off, or not answered at all. And I'd just like to remind the board, and I'll be back to supervisors next meeting to remind them of that. I want to just say on the Midtown site that I would hope that it would be returned to its original designation so we can have a little bit more of a better tax base there. I don't believe a park will do us any good there. Then we need that original designation as, I believe it was semi-professional. I don't think the whole thing is going to be used for buildings, that there's going to have to be some open space on it. But I believe it should go back to its original designation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Frank Casilio, Los Osos. I handed Mr. Overin a appeals file, environmental impact report. It's how to file an appeal to the Environmental Impact Report. And I don't know if that's the county's way of doing it here. So later on, if he could address that, I'd appreciate it. If you want to appeal the EIR, there are certain ways you can do that after the final. I want to talk about, because reviewing the water situation in the EIR, I wasn't clear on the the amount of water mitigation for the septic systems, if you take all the septic systems out, how much would we increase seawater intrusion? When you add the broadest insight, how much do you say it will stop seawater intrusion by? I wanted to know, why is only the prohibition zone being considered or recommended for water conservation? That was on page 2-13, when hooking up to the wastewater system and not the whole water basin. I wanted to know about, there's items in the DEIR are considered to be flexible because we're going to be considering servant build-out, put extra large pipe in, maybe a septic receiving system for those who have continue to have septic systems. And I wanted to know, are we paying for that, the people who voted for the 218, or will that cost be kept separate somehow so the people who will use those facilities later on, if they choose to vote for 218, will be picking up that expense for that? Also, let's see. On the Broadison, are all 8 acres going to be utilized for the leach field, or only partial? Or are they going to have 2 leach fields or 1 leach field? And what I'm trying to understand, is it one big 8 acres of leach fields, or is it going to have 4 and then 4 for rotation? Let's see. Oh, and it says in the EIR. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Acilio. And again, if you've got the questions, please put them on the question slips, and we'll try to answer as many as possible. And as well, these questions, I want to remind, as well, these questions can be submitted to the county, or should be submitted by the 30th of January. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
All right. Good evening, members of the board and members of the Board of Supervisors. Good evening, Bruce Gibson, Pavo. My name is Aaron Oaks of the Oaks Nation blog. You may have your slick brochures and presentations, but it will always promote what Dr. Thomas A. Rohr has called a fatally flawed sewer proposal. Dr. Thomas Rohr was someone who consistently urged the people to rise up and take action against the government who goes against the grain of their constituents. Even though he left us so suddenly last week, we must carry his legacy proudly and look at the Los Osos Wastewater Project under a scientific lens instead of pushing for a flawed project. Look, it's been said before. The Obama stimulus package hasn't been finalized, and all we know is that there isn't any specific language that condones a project like this. The project is not shovel-ready, and by saying that the stimulus package is in tune with the county's plans is deceitful and fraudulent. Barack Obama has championed for affordability while we've been going through an economic recession. Barack Obama has also said that we need green projects, sustainable projects, innovative projects. The county is committed to more of the same illegitimate practices than actual change. It's been more of the same. Dr. Rohr once said, "We should correct the problems first. Then, and only then, should we worry about the advertising to sell the product. In fact, this community is highly educated. They do not want to be insulted by glitz from brochures. They want to know all of the facts about the system."
Because San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury is not handing down indictments, the federal grand jury is not looking over anyone's shoulder, so anything goes. No staff person, representative, no employee has to be terribly concerned about the choices that they make. They can't be indicted. And this recent grand jury has suggested that the county actually interfered with one of their investigations. So it looks, when you think about remedy, it looks pretty hopeless. I have concern that not one voice is silenced, not one member of this community is so embittered that they give up and cease participating. I haven't made up my mind yet, and I need their input and I need their expertise. Important statements are being made, one of which references an economic cleansing of Los Osos if an affordable project is not agreed upon. Each speaker who advocates for the right of each citizen to retain their home, renter or homeowner, is protected from interference under the Fair Housing Act and UNRU Civil Rights Act, and I consider the editorializing by your staff interference.
Thank you. The next speaker, please.
Ann Norman, Los Osos. Just a couple, I think, pretty simple points. One is, it would be helpful to me and probably some others to get some clarification on what Pavo meant by the recently approved BOS approval of funding to help move the facilities plan work forward. I'm not clear on whether that means the treatment facility in parallel or what. I think we're all pretty clear that we don't want to circumvent the EIR process or limit our options, and I think that's an important, a very important consideration going forward. I understand that the board members clarify that that was the case, but I think it's important for your board to also stick up for that point. My concern would be that if we rush through the process in order to in hopes of getting stimulus package funding, there, we might get bogged down in litigation again. So I think we really want it to be a clean, effective process. And the other issue, I mean, the critical bottom line is to end up with the right project for the community. And then a second point related to Mark's presentation was that if, as far as a major objective, it sounded like for the EIR process, was to keep options open for what to do with the treated effluent. But from my understanding, it really, the treated effluent options that were only seriously considered were the Tonini spray fields and the Broderson leach site. And I think there's more options that could be considered, especially since pipes are going to be coming back into town to put the water up at Broderson anyway. I'd like to be there to be some consideration of potential very focused purple pipe use at the schools or maybe at the cemetery along the way or something like that in order to be cost effective. I'm sure there are other important options for use of treated effluent. Thanks.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Lost and Shallow, Los Osos. I want to thank Bruce and Pablo and Mark for coming out. Congratulations to the new CSD members, and I want to thank all of you for your efforts. Some overarching priority concern for me is protection of the basin and the bay. I think we need water conservation to do that. That's one element. Previous speaker mentioned Section 2.13. The language says may include water conservation. I think it must include water conservation. I would highly encourage mandatory retrofits as part of this program, as the previous speaker mentioned, not just for the prohibition zone, but for all basin users. Also want to encourage integration and use of treated effluent for ag irrigation. There's been a lot of success in Monterey County and the Salinas Valley, and I think we should follow that lead. That's not included in the draft EIR. Previous speaker mentioned that relying on the spray fields in Broderson, and I think we need to expand beyond that. I'd like to see minimization of the spray field use, and I'd like to see maximum basin recharge beyond Broderson. The document also states some language referring to alleviating the nitrates as a primary concern in the groundwater. I would argue, and I think many others would agree, that the saltwater intrusion is actually more of a threat than the nitrates, which brings me back to the importance of water conservation. Also really want to encourage that all options stay on the table through a full EIR process, especially through some hard bidding. I think the community deserves to see that. And I will get these comments in detail in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I fully endorse the county process. I think it's been fair. I think it's been professional. I think it's been even-handed. I congratulate Pavo and his crew and Supervisor Gibson for their patience of Job. I also think it's time that this community is not held hostage by a tyranny of the minority. It's time the majority of taxpayers who own homes and want to see this come to an end can be served. Now my question. Supervisor Gibson mentioned grants coming from the government that are supposedly going to be implemented by the new administration. Since 1969, I've been the recipient of many grants from your money. I also spend time in a federal agency dishing out grants. Grants are not paid back. If we get a grant from the federal government, will the cost to citizens of the community be reduced? Grants aren't paid back. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, let's have... Excuse... Let's not have any back and forth, please. Thank you.
Don Asquith, Los Osos. First of all, for the people here that don't know me, that I am a practicing engineering geologist, and I wrote EIRs for 30 years, including the EIR for this project that was accepted by the county way back in 1987. I just have a couple of comments on the relationship between the project and the water supply and the Burleson Recharge site. All of these estimates that are in the EIR go back to a mathematical model that's been used by Cleese and Associates to generate all the necessary information to meet the requirements of the EIR. There are a lot of assumptions in that model, and it should be taken as approximate. Some of the language in the EIR makes it sound like it's frozen in granite, I think, but it's not. All of the alternatives for this project will result in the implementation of recharge at Broderson. How much goes to the spray fields and how much goes to Broderson has been a question of a lot of argument back and forth, at least as I hear it. I would just like to say that it really doesn't matter. Broderson's going to be used to the extent that it can be used, and so it's really not particularly productive to argue about those points. I think it will all work itself out, and it's set up to just do fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, President Sparks, members of the CSD Board. I'm Ann Garfinkel, 150 Monarch Lane, Los Osos. I support the county project 150%. There is no question in my mind that we must get a system installed ASAP. That being said, I will go on record as stating I take exception to the term disadvantaged persons. There is not an individual or family living in our community who is not going to be disadvantaged when we have to pay for whatever project we are able to put in. Therefore, I urge all due speed and diligence to find as much grant money as humanly possible so that it becomes a project that we can not only afford, but that we can be proud of. And thank you for your hard work.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Bill Garfinkel from Los Osos. Chairman Sparks and board, glad to be able to speak here. I just want to say a few comments. I've been involved very much in the process to date. And I understand, first of all, I agree with most of the speakers who talked before that I support the county process wholly. The cost to the individual property owners is the number one issue in Los Osos. When you go around and ask people what they want low price. Anything else they'll take as long as they can get a low price. When we talk about costs, costs must include all costs, not only the monthly and annual, but also upfront costs, such as conservation requirements for...
...together on for several years. To put it all in a nutshell, I'm supporting the county's process, not in any small way because of the integrity of Paavo and his crew. I think that if we were to look at any community in the United States that knew about wastewater treatment, I would say that you could probably take the citizens of Los Osos and spread them out around the country, and they'd be the top wastewater professionals wherever they went. That said, we all know that their concerns are valid. We all know their concerns are real. My concern is that if you are going to have a community that is a utopia and have your own septic systems and be in control of your own little destiny, you're going to have to walk down the aisle for the cleaning fluids in the supermarket and read the labels to find out what it is exactly that people are throwing down into their septic systems. And there is no biological process when you throw Lysol down there and this and that. So anything has to come with a tremendous amount of education. What I think is the best thing for this community now is to move ahead with this process and hijack it. Nobody's going to take control away from the citizens of Los Osos. They've made it very clear. They are a formidable force to be reckoned with. I still think the time is not too late to go regional full tertiary with a water reuse component. Morro Bay and Cayucas are still stumbling around. I think you're ahead of them. I thank this whole community for all the hard work they've done on both sides of the issue, and I thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Dr. Mary Fullwood. I'm the Los Osos representative for the San Luis Bay chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I'm terribly regretful for having missed this past Los Osos update, and I tried catching as much of the meeting online today. I would like Paavo to clarify if gravity is being the most encouraged project right now as shovel-ready, and if it means the dismissal of looking clearly at other technologies. Surfrider, the regional director, Sarah Corbin, and I, we've been looking very closely at the draft EIR, and so far we do not see gravity as the superior project. We're very concerned about the pocket pump and pump stations that are on the edge of the bay, and as Mark Hutchinson said to the environmental groups in mid-December, there is no backup power. Now, we know for CMC that spill happened because of a power outage and the failure of a backup generator. PISMO just had a grease clog. Step systems settle out grease, so you wouldn't have spills from that. One of the costs that has not been fully evaluated, if evaluated at all, is what happens if there is a spill, which would be very probable with pump stations and pocket pump stations right at the edge of the bay. What happens if a spill goes into the SMR, a protected sanctuary? And who absorbs those costs? My guess is it will be the prohibition zone, and those costs need to be fully brought forward so we do not have surprise costs that just break our community apart. Please take this into consideration, and please clarify what is the status right now in terms of evaluating all projects fairly. Thank you.
Thank you. And next speaker, please.
Good evening, Board. Bruce Gibson and members of the county staff. My name is Richard Leslie. I live in Cuesta by the Sea. For nine years, I watched the saga of the LO sewer project, mired in controversy between the pro and anti factions. We've recently delayed any measurable progress in the last 36 months, that is, other than the county tax study. Meanwhile, all of us are aware of the need for a solution to mitigate the damage to our water supply by saltwater intrusion and drawdown by overpumping. Now we have the output of a three-year study and rational analysis of techniques, solutions, and trade-offs for the treatment of wastewater and recharging our aquifer. While there is some quibbling with study conclusions, these can be adequately worked out while we proceed immediately with the funding and construction of the Los Osos wastewater program. Look, folks, this is our last chance. Next, we're going to have some state agency coming in and doing the job for us and riding roughshod over all the objections. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, board members, county staff, Mr. Gibson, and the public. Thank you for this chance to address you, in which treated wastewater is a resource to be utilized, not a pollutant to be disposed of. Water demand and use is reduced. An aquifer is recharged and protected against saltwater intrusion, and minimal sludge is created for disposal. This is something that I know that the county wants these things, but I think that we need to be very keen in how we evaluate the draft EIR and the county's efforts. In particular, Andrew states that he has concerns about the way that step is considered, probably not as good as gravity. I'm not going to go into that detail because we're all pretty well aware of that, but I will draw your attention to the key environmental impact statement that was Mary Fullwood was very instrumental in, and encourage you to reconsider those. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vendetti. Next speaker, please.
My name is Keith Weimer, from the Los Osos Sustainability Group. On last Tuesday, we heard a little bit more about this process. We heard that it would be shortened, and also that the design-build process would be shortened, and a gravity system would be selected more or less by proclamation. So I'm addressing that. We need a full, fair, and open process, and we need it to be completed. The gravity system is simply not the most sustainable, and I've done a lot of research on it. It is the least affordable, the most environmentally harmful, and it's the most environmentally burdensome on this generation and the next. To make the point that this process should be expedited and gravity should be selected, there were several things that Mr. Ogren stated. He stated there is no evidence there will be a cost savings from small pipe sealed systems over gravity, but there is plenty of evidence. It's in the fine screen, in fact, that it's 10 to 15% less expensive. All studies support that as well. We also heard that the gravity system is a environmentally preferred, and that was shown in the draft EIR, at least proposed as the environmentally preferred. But this is the finding of a very preliminary, and I must say, flawed document. The document fails to even discuss gravity system will leak much more than a small sealed pipe system and be more likely to overflow, pollute the groundwater and the bay. We heard that the current reuse disposal plan for the project is the only one that should be chosen, and it will alleviate all the environmental harm. When the county took over the project, it took over the responsibility for ensuring that there would be no harm. The reuse disposal plan with Brodersen can very easily destroy the freshwater supplies we have, rendering the wastewater project a waste of time and money. Last Tuesday, sustainability group submitted a plan for a reuse disposal option that would fully mitigate for the project, and we will submit that to you sometime this week, and we would hope that you would endorse it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weimer. And again, we're just remind, we will have a Water Finance Committee meeting tomorrow where that's one of the topics. Thank you. The next speaker, please. Oh, just a second, Piper. We don't have the mic on yet for you.
Thank you. Piper Riley from Los Osos. Last month, one of the largest engineering companies in the world, Siemens, settled criminal charges for paying off officials for lucrative contracts, food for thought. On Tuesday, Paavo Ogren said that if we move fast with a shovel-ready project, then we would get federal funding. And the only shovel-ready project they have is the Montgomery Watson Horaza gravity plan. As it happens to be, Montgomery Watson Horaza is the largest wastewater engineering firm in the world. They are also the firm that was going to install the Tri-W project, which was halted when the recall election took place. Interestingly, shortly after the recall, the Los Osos office offices of Montgomery Watson were robbed of all of their records. Montgomery Watson lost the project and they want it back. If they are successful here, they would be likely to get their foot in the door with 13 other prohibition zones under the CCRWQCB rule that are lined up behind us. There's a lot at stake here. We're a precedent-setting town. Unfortunately, the Montgomery Watson plan utilizes obsolete technology and comes with a very high price tag, both economically and environmentally. It is completely unsustainable. All this would be very clear if we were currently engaged in a transparent process with real information, but we are not. How can the community respond to a survey when no real specific information has been conveyed? Why rush everything through unless you do not want the facts to be revealed? The draft EIR is filled with old data and errors. Pava Ogren also wants to augment the design-build process because properly executed design-build process would blow Montgomery Watson Horaza out of the water. If federal funds are available, it will not be a one-time deal, and there is also no guarantee that we will receive any funds, as we have assessed ourselves for $127 million. The Montgomery Watson plan is estimated at $165 million. The Ripley plan, which is also sustainable and shovel-ready, is half that price, and the other
kinds of dollars worth of supposed intention to do that, and yet nobody that I speak with knows what a step stag system is. They don't know what a vacuum system is. They don't know what a low pressure system is, and they don't know what mini plants are. All they think is that the county is doing a great job pushing forward the best technology. The EIR is a sloppy, regurgitated mess from a prior project that was failed, and I can't make any sense of it. 3,000 pages, about 90% fluff. My fourth issue was on Broderson. Could you please answer if you will cut down the eucalyptus to install these leach fields? And will the leach fields be fenced? We're talking about 8 acres. And will there be outbuildings in the leach field area? And will there be nighttime lighting? I think the people up in Cabrillo Estates are being fooled about what that leach area is going to look like. Number five, if you don't want litigation on this project, then you need to vet all potentials in an unbiased manner. So I hope that people review this EIR because it is full of false and bad information, and the alternatives are not being looked at.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. And again, please address the comments to the board. Thanks.
I shall try.
I know you will.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. I attended last Tuesday's meeting at the Board of Supervisors. And at that time, Pavo, it seemed to me and to others present, made a pretty clear statement that everything was off the table except gravity. And gravity was going to be accepted. Tonight, we seem to be hearing a different tune, or are we? What happened to design build, which was supposed to bring to this community the most modern and the most cost-effective system? We don't hear anything about that, nor has there been, is there anything in the reports that we've heard from the county about sustainability, about the issue of what happens 10, 20, 30 years down the line. It's great to stand up and talk about grants when there's no assumption, I don't think there's any basis for an assumption, that this community is going to get grants from the government. You're going to have to pay back every nickel that you get. This is a community service district, not a bank. It isn't a financial institution. You're not going to be given money that you can spend on a trip to play golf somewhere. You're going to have to pay it back. And let's keep that in mind when we're talking about what this is going to cost. One can stand up and say, I support this and I support that. I would like to support a program which is presented to us and explained in fully as to what it's going to cost and what the impact is going to be on this community.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Martha Golden, Los Osos. I just heard, as you know, my husband talk about last Tuesday's meeting at the Board of Supervisors. If you listened or you watched, you know that I attend. Not only did I attend, but I addressed the board at that time. While Mr. Golden was commenting on what he heard Paavo say with respect to shovel-ready means gravity, I saw Paavo shaking his head. Well, there were a lot of us who were there, and I think the members of this community should recognize that that, in so many words, is what Mr. Ogren said. And we've got to hurry up. And he persuaded the Board of Supervisors that we had to invest another $1 million in getting this shovel-ready gravity project on the table. Well, I'd like the community to ask the Board of Supervisors, what exactly has happened to between the $4 and $7 million that has already been invested by the taxpayers into a fair, open, and complete project if what we're getting is a gravity system designed by Montgomery Watson for the Tri-W site and is the very one that was way overpriced, that was the wrong project for the community, that was a dinosaur? No other community in the world is building a dinosaur like that in today's world.
And that's why, vertically, that's why Broderson is not such a good place to put the water. And can I have the second map, please? What that indicates is that you're going to try to put all the wastewater, effluent, after it comes out of the plant, back into a potable aquifer. Would you really want your children to drink the chemicals that are going to be left in that water? That's why Ag Exchange is such a great idea. And this is a map of an Ag Exchange program that was put together. And by the way, this is on the priority B list at the State Water Board. It is a doable project. It's part of the Ripley update of the project that Paavo has been talking about as being shovel-ready. This is shovel-ready. The different colors on the map will show you the amounts. Just keep it simple. It's capable of putting 1,700 acre-feet of effluent. We only have 1,290 acre-feet. That is the best way to use our effluent. Growing plants, ag crops, grazing, whatever. You don't have to waste any of the water, and you get the potable water that they're now using.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, board, staff, members of the county staff, Mr. Gibson. I'm Pandora Nash Carner, Los Osos, and I want to start by thanking you for your diligence and your perseverance. I want to thank the TAC for all the work they've done and certainly the county staff. I think the process has been fair and very open, and I appreciate all the communications that you've had to us residents. I think it's been exhaustive, and I appreciate where you are today. I'm here to encourage the county to move forward, to be in alignment for potential word of money and for the stimulus package. I've been involved with other organizations who have indeed gotten millions and millions of dollars worth of grants, and of course, they do not have to be paid back. I think it's really important that you go after this money to make this project as affordable as possible. I'd like you to encourage you to select a solution that will support as sustainable as possible, a project that will help and support our water supply, recharge, solve the saltwater intrusion problems, and to immediately move forward in a very aggressive water conservation program. I would like to ask you please to be aware of the potential for growth inducement if you put the project outside of town, which I'm sure you will be doing. And the only question I have is, will part of the mitigation money that has been paid prior to now be applicable to this job? It's been a long road. I think you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Honorable Board. I am Joyce Albright. Welcome to Maria and Marshall.
and welcome back to John Seitz. Los Osos is looking to each of you individually and to all of you as a team to make decisions as you guide your community through the coming months. To John Schlempf, good luck in your future endeavors, and thanks a bunch for your service to our community. I also extend my welcome and appreciation to Pavel Ogren and to Supervisor Bruce Gibson. Los Osos owes much to these people and to those who have served on the TAC committee over the past couple of years. Many thanks as well to all of those unsung heroes who have brought us to this point. I totally support the county's efforts to provide the best and least expensive sewer for our community, and if putting the sewer above South Bay Boulevard is the way to accomplish that, you have my blessing. At this point, I am not going to go on with what I had to say because I want to provide support in every way I can. I agree completely with Ann about the money situation. We need the best affordable project possible. It is my opinion that that project was already designed. It is my opinion that it is shovel-ready. There seems to be an opinion by Pavel and Bruce and the rest of them that it would not be successful if put on the survey, and I don't agree. But I don't want to raise any red flags because I want to move ahead. I would also agree with Joey, believe it or not, that you should watch what the heck you put in your water. All of those chemicals at the hardware store are not helping at all. Anyway, I just want to close by again thanking everybody and appreciate all your hard work. God bless you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Mimi Calland. I live in the Prohibition Zone, and unlike most of the people who get up and speak to you and to the supervisors, I don't...
...that the street would be torn up the following Monday for pipes. Don't park our car on the street, and Monday everything ground to a halt, and nothing ever happened. I've had people say, what are you doing so crazy living in that town of Los Osos where the sewer wars, you won't live long enough to see it finished. I'm 76 years old, and I'm quite certain that I will live long enough to see it finished. I grew up on a farm in the San Joaquin Valley. I've lived with septic tanks all my life. When I moved to Hanford 44 years ago, the first thing that they did, and I was in an island surrounded by the city. We were in a county island. We were all on septic tanks. Started having problems. Put in a new dry well. Everything worked fine. The county got a grant. We got a sewer system. I was the first one to sign up. I've never regretted it. Raised the value of the property. And I think the same thing will happen here when it's installed. I happen now to live up in Cabrillo, and I am somewhat concerned about what the future holds. If Cabrillo someday wants to join and get into the system, how is that going to work? How may it cost? I'm on the board up there. I'd like to know what implications that has for the future for Cabrillo Estates. I think you're to be congratulated for the work that's gone into this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. And again, if we get all the remaining speakers up there, we want to get to the question period, give county a chance to respond to questions. So hopefully we can wrap up the comment period shortly here. Go ahead.
Lynette Tornotsky, Los Osos. I'm sorry to see the county process disparaged. I've attended virtually every meeting but one and have found the process to be incredibly straightforward, clear, and well-run. And I think I am saying that I appreciate it, but I think many other people do. They just don't always speak about it. So I'd just like to say thank you so much to the county for helping us out with this big mess. And I think you've just done a great job. And I'm really happy to see you continuing despite what you face every meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos. Like Mimi Callan, I am sick unto death of having a sewer. I don't want any kind of a tank except my septic tank left there for roof runoff to capture the water. But I want a gravity system very much. I've been very open and noisy about it. So I want to thank the members of the TAC as well as the county staff, and I hope that you will proceed as rapidly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I'm Boyd Lowe, and I live out in Sunset Terrace area. And I have been here since 1990. And the sewer has been promised several times, and it has not happened. And I just want to encourage everyone to become proactive, because the time is now. We need to do it, because it will only increase more in the next 20 years. So we need to do it today so that we're able to afford it as well as we can. And I know it's going to be difficult for some of us, but let's do it. The time is now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please. And can I get all the remaining speakers in line right now, and then we'll cut it off from who's ever in line. Thank you.
Richard Margetson, since this is basically an infomercial today, and we're really not having the great debate that we need to have on this, an open forum. Since Joyce was talking about thank yous, it's nice to see Pandora back in the room. The person who asked for her community to be fined out of existence. That sure would have helped with the affordability issue if that didn't proceed the way it did through the state revolving fund.
Let's not have any comment while the speaker's speaking. Go ahead,
and
Mr. Martin.
I'd like to at some point be able to thank Joyce if she can get Gordon to drop the lawsuit against the CSD, which has cost hundreds of thousands of dollars the district couldn't afford. And then there was a comment made that this is a compilation of past reports, that tons of great information were available.
I just, point of clarification, just in case people are confused. The stimulus package will be loans to the state revolving fund. Those funds will be loans. They will not be grants. Deputy Director McVaughn from the State Revolving Fund made this statement this morning. There will be no grants in the funding that comes from the state. Those will be loans exclusively. Thank you.
Thank you. And this will be the last speaker.
Alon Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I support the fact that by law the sewer is in the county's hands, and I believe the supervisor and staff are proceeding professionally. However, we have a written EIR as if secondary treatment is acceptable, but it isn't. Level 3 is an option. It's not identified as a necessity or essentiality. As for the federal government, Los Osos is a special case. Take Los Osos to the federal government as a special case. Thomas Rohrer, I attended this celebration of his life. He was a teacher of teachers. He stood for open government, truth, and science. I'm not sure everybody on both sides is clean enough to cast stones. So I'm going to take a moment of joyous reflection for Thomas Rohrer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. And with that, I'm going to close public comment, and then we're going to come back with questions to county staff. Again, I want to thank Supervisor Gibson, Mr. Overton, and your staff, Mr. Hutchinson. And why don't we take a five-minute break? So ten-minute break? Okay, so we'll take a 10-minute break, and we'll start back in 10 minutes. Thanks. Okay, everybody, please sit down. We're going to go ahead and start. Oh, yeah.
Here's your first.
Okay, thank you. All right. We've received a number of questions, and our Vice President Marshall Hiskey has gone through them and, along with Mr. Shemp, sorted them to prevent duplicate ones. Some of them weren't questions. They were statements, so we had to make some judgments, some paraphrasing. So if you don't feel it was answered, again, the submittal, you can submit directly to the county. And again, regarding our CSD's response, feel free to submit them to our staff. We have a Water Finance Committee tomorrow, is what Wellsman will take comment, so that we can vet those into our response to the county at the end of the month.
If I could just add one thing. All the questions will be submitted to county staff, whether or not they're duplicates or ones that we aren't able to get to tonight. So they will be answered and included in the EIR review process, whether we answer them verbally tonight, orally tonight or not. So we appreciate all the questions we've gotten.
Okay, first question is, what is the facilities plan? Oh, you moved.
I moved over here next to Mark so that as we're answering the questions, we can make sure to confer with each other. But the facilities plan itself is a requirement by to be included in the facilities plan. A water conservation plan is a requirement for the facilities plan. So in essence, the facilities plan that goes to the State Water Board is going to have to include what we often, you know, consider to be sort of the three legs to the stool of any project. Has to include the environmental, has to include the engineering and the technical project, has to include the funding, and then in California it also has to include a water conservation plan.
Thank you, Mr. Ogden. And can I expand on that? Will it include all four, at least all four of the options as identified in the draft EIR?
No, the facilities plan will be based around the specific project that will be implemented, and that specific project will then be identified in the final EIR. It's the EIR that has the alternatives analysis in it.
Thank you. Number two, is gravity the preferred system?
Well, gravity right now is identified as the collection system in the draft EIR that's part of the environmentally superior alternative. Whether or not gravity is going to be the final recommendation, we still have to get comments on the draft EIR. We're still conducting the community survey, getting responses on the design build statement of qualifications. So time will tell. The idea, there was some public comment that had expressed that the Ripley plan was shovel ready. That's clearly not true. That was a concept paper that was put together. The shovel ready component is simply that which has already been designed. We also have to have the permits, so we have to have the EIR certified in order for it to be shovel ready, the design, so that we can actually award a contract. And it is that portion of the collection system that's already been designed that would be the one that can be most shovel-ready at the, you know, the quickest point in time. Now, we recognize also that in selecting a site out of town, there will have to still be more design work done on the collection. That's what we call the out-of-town conveyance. So that portion of the collection system would not be shovel-ready for some time because that would still have to be designed. But if you will, it's the collection system that's going up and down the streets of the community that's already been designed. And, you know, it really doesn't matter who designed it, whether it was Montgomery Watson or whomever. But that has been designed. In fact, that collection system previously got a coastal development permit from the Coastal Commission. And that's the component that's already been designed and we believe would be shovel-ready and best able to be able to be eligible for stimulus funding.
Third question. Is the design build proposal and process no longer being pursued?
Oh, it certainly still is being pursued. And we eagerly await to see what types of design build teams are going to be submitting statement of qualifications that are due in February. Once we get those statement of qualifications in, once we get the comments on the draft EIR, once we get the results from the community survey, and start doing some of our legwork here on pursuing stimulus, then that's when we would be able to take that information back to the Board of Supervisors, hopefully as soon as their March meeting, see what the lay of the land is at that time and see what kind of recommendations we can put forward at that time.
Okay, the next question is, and it actually is specific for Mark Hutchinson. If a major EIR objective is to allow for flexibility in disposal of treatment effluent, why are only Tonini Spray and Broderson evaluated versus others? And I would say in the draft EIR.
Well, the important thing to understand is that as the EIR developed alternatives, we wanted to have projects that provided a wide range of options. So, for instance, we heard some talk about agricultural exchange or agricultural in lieu. One of the interesting things about the Tonini site is that it's smack in the middle of the land that could use that for irrigation. So clearly an option, if that alternative were chosen, was that as agriculturalists come online and switch over to ag exchange, if, again, the water purveyors in the county decide that's the best direction to go, then we're well positioned to implement that option. We have the plant there. We have the infrastructure there. We have a short distance to those fields, and we have area to store treated effluent, you know, over the winter, so it could be used agriculture in the summer. The Broderson component is interesting because it brings that all-important purple pipeline from the treatment plant all the way down LOVR to Broderson and up the hill, so that in the future, if there were opportunities to do irrigation, you know, at parks and whatnot, then we could tap off of that line and carry those over there. So the basic main backbone infrastructure for a purple pipe system gets put in place with the project and then leaves open a wide range of options on how to build on it again if the choice is that that's the way that the community wants to go.
And let me just ask a follow-up with that. There was a question, I think, by Mr. Asilio during the comment about the net impact. And as my recollection is, there was a negative, the stoppage of the flows from the septic.
Stays in the groundwater basin and is reachable by groundwater wells. So Broderson, by strategically locating the effluent, puts about 99 acre feet back into the aquifer. The conservation program at this point would put about 88. So the impact on seawater intrusion is 90. The two components, conservation and Broderson, mitigate to a tune of 187.
Thank you.
Joe, if I might real quickly follow up, because when, you know, we get into some of the specific questions on the EIR, certainly there was a number of assertions during public comment that, you know, we've heard before, some of them alleging that we're not following a scientifically based process and everything. And I just want to make sure to, you know, reiterate that the public comments on these types of questions are especially important to get into Mr. Hutchinson by the January 30th date, because then we have the statutory requirements of CEQA to make sure to address those in the final EIR. And you know, well, I can sort of understand that public comment can kind of sort of be all over the board and everything in order to make sure that everybody understands we are currently in a very formal process of obtaining public comments so that they can be evaluated on a scientific basis when they come in.
Okay, and next question. Can you or will you make water conservation retrofits mandatory?
Yes.
Yes to both the questions?
Yes, yes.
Okay, next question. Exactly how will the project be shortened?
Exactly how will the project be shortened?
Process.
Oh, the process. Well, you know, the idea that in any type of a project development, you know, we use the word a linear path versus parallel paths. And sometimes a linear path means we go step A, then step B, then step C. A parallel path means that we're trying to do A and B and C all simultaneously. And there's trade-offs associated with that. When you go on a linear path on A, then B, then C, then you tend to have more certainty in step B and step C because you've made, you know, each decision one at a time. But, you know, obviously that also stretches out a process and can increase costs from a time standpoint. When we can go parallel paths, we can shorten the schedule, get done, perhaps save money by getting it done quicker. But when you're on parallel paths, it also makes it more complex. You start getting a change in A, then it's going to automatically cause you to do rework on B or rework on C. So this idea where the facilities plan, we had originally anticipated that we were going to do that more of a linear step after the EIR was done and after the coastal development permit was done, but then it takes longer to, you know, be able to actually move into construction. So what the board essentially approved on Tuesday is the ability to go parallel paths to try to get that end date, you know, done sooner, with the risk that if we start seeing modifications to the EIR, we'll have to start modifying the facilities plan. So that $1 million that the board appropriated isn't like a gamble or isn't throwing money away at anything. It's work that needs to get done under any case, but now we're moving it into a parallel path rather than a linear path.
Okay, next, I'm going to make a question out of the next one, which was more of a statement. I guess, does the DEIR address concerns regarding spills and or fines in relation to the state marine reserve?
Well, the EIR has a section on public health and safety that looks at the issue of spills. And again, I think I'm going to encourage folks to actually read that section and give us their comments on it as to whether they you know, agree with it or disagree. The basic finding is that the various systems that were considered all have the potential for spills and overflows. Interestingly, the mechanisms are different. So again, that area is addressed, and I would encourage people who have questions to submit, you know, written comments on the EIR as to how they feel that analysis turned out. We didn't get into the idea of fines or costs or those kinds of things.
Well, you know, and also what the question jumps us forward to is the operations and maintenance of any type of a plant. You know, all wastewater treatment plants and collection systems have to be operated and they have to be maintained, you know, on an ongoing basis. And any system that's not properly operated or properly maintained is going to run into problems. So the EIR addressing project-level issues is one thing, but everybody has to understand that proper operations and maintenance is a must in the future.
Thank you. The next question is, will there be an opportunity for Morro Bay Cayucas to join in a regional?
The cost of the pipeline, the collection system, the conveyance is still the largest cost component of the project. And in any treatment facility, we're still going to have a million gallons plus per day in order to treat the effluent. And so, yes, there would be some economies of scale on a regional treatment plant, but those economies of scale, we just don't see those matching up with the additional cost of piping and everything else. So good concept, applicable in many areas. We just don't see it as being applicable here, but yes, it was evaluated in tech memos and in the EIR.
Yes, I know I've seen responses from Cayucas and Morro Bay expressing concerns that the county might take that approach.
You have to have willing partners.
Next question is, will we be able to get a cost for STEP in the design-build process?
I guess my first question is whether or not STEP contractors are going to respond to the proposals, and it's one step at a time. I mean, they, you know, I hear some chuckles out there and everything, but, you know, when private industry wants to engage in a process, literally it's an investment by those companies. And so we're, you know, first step is to see whether or not those companies want to make up the, you know, make the upfront investment to submit statements of qualifications. And, you know, it's out there on the street, and so we have to wait to see those responses.
Just a follow-up. I guess when are the is the deadline for receiving the determining the qualification list, and then when is the time frame for the RFP?
So the statement of qualifications are due early, mid-February. I don't have the exact date with us. And then there will be a few weeks of the evaluation committee going through and evaluating the statement of qualifications. Under California's public contracting code, any team that submits statement of qualifications but not does not get shortlisted has the ability to appeal those determinations. So that's going to take us definitely into March. And then after the shortlisting and after any appeals, we certainly would like to get into the RFP process relatively soon. We're working on the RFP right now, but do not have a document yet ready for to hit the streets.
Yeah, and I would actually add, you know, we've always looking forward to a competitive bidding situation. And I've heard lots of comment over the last how many years. And if any vendor or consortium had a competitive advantage that was 30% to 40% better, I think in their business model that on a $100 million project that would translate into a $30 to $40 million low bid that would allow them to recover a lot of profit. And so if that's true, then I would expect that they would be participating in this if that competitive advantage exists in their business model.
I agree wholeheartedly, and the door is open right now, so we have to take it one step at a time and see who chooses to walk through that door and submit in the first round.
I think you touched briefly on this, but I'm going to ask again. How will you meet the needs of the disadvantaged specifically?
I'm going to go back real quickly. Responses to the RFQs are due February 10th. Meeting the needs of the disadvantaged, although I guess one speaker sort of took exception to that phrase, but pursuing affordability is going to continue to be trying to get grants. Low interest rate loans, extended financing loans, that, you know, often when we look at monthly costs on anything, whether it's a house, a car loan, a wastewater project, it can be based on the terms and conditions of the financing. So we've been working with the state of California to be able to get the SRF loan program, which is typically a 20-year payback, and get extended funding for a 30-year payback. That effort, which the State Water Board has since last year approved guidelines on and is working with Region 9 of the Environmental Protection Agency because they need EPA approval on extended funding, was specifically in response to the work on the Los Osos Wastewater Project. It was specifically something that our bond counsel worked with legal counsel at the State Water Board in order to address some of the concerns that they have. And it was very much the action of the State Water Board last year was prompted because of Los Osos. Certainly it's going to have a benefit throughout the state of California. Now that is, again, the idea of being able to get the SRF loan repaid back over a 30-year period instead of a 20-year period. But there's also federal EPA guidelines that limit how much the State Water Board can loan out over a 30-year period. And I think the quote I got from State Water Board staff was that if the entirety of the Los Osos Wastewater Project was loaned at the 30-year extended funding, then it would take up some options, and we'll see how things pan out.
Okay, the next question is, can a 2 to 4 week extension be granted for comments on the DEIR?
Well, the extension for comments on the EIR was a topic that we addressed with the board on last Tuesday. I indicated pretty clearly to the board that at a staff level, we would not be extending public comment on the draft EIR, that if the board wanted that, they were going to have to direct us to do so, and they chose not to direct us to extend the comments. The other thing about so no one should anticipate that the draft EIR, that the comment period is going to be extended, because again, I was pretty clear that we were not going to do it at a staff level. It would require board direction, and the board did not direct us. So they but the other side, when we were meeting with other officials, where we've been really getting the pinch on the stimulus is where can we cut a week out of the schedule, or where can we cut 2 weeks out of the schedule. So that's really our focus right now, is to say, hey, how can we get something done quicker while adhering to, you know, the promises that we've already made revolving design build, comments on the EIR, the community survey. And so
the next question is, why were two of the collection system components dropped from consideration? I think these refer to vacuum systems.
In Appendix P.
We've always viewed vacuum systems and low pressure systems as, hybrids of gravity. So when you're doing an EIR, you need to be judicious with your words if you can. We realized early on that if you evaluate a gravity system and at the same time a step system, then you've actually covered a pressure system that has a small on-lot footprint. So you've got the impacts covered by doing gravity on one end and step on the other. So if either one of those came out of design build as the project, or a portion of the project was using those kinds of systems, then obviously we would have to look back and make sure that we have the impacts covered, and we could do that with an addendum, probably, depending on the details. So we think that it's handled by the inclusive nature and the expansive nature of the collection system analysis. I'll do an analogy of that for Chuck Caltrans. You might have a roadway that's proposed at, you know, 8 lanes, and another alternative at 4 lanes. And if the project comes out to be 6, you're in good shape to move forward with your EIR because it landed in between the two.
Hey, next question. How is saltwater intrusion to be controlled? I think you touched upon that in one of the prior questions, but maybe you could elaborate a little bit more.
Well, with relationship to the basin as a whole, seawater intrusion specifically, but again, overall water management practices and efforts, clearly we are of the position that that's a joint effort. The county, under Assembly Bill 2701, has a specific local agency authority on a wastewater project, and it does give us some latitude in moving forward on water supply issues as they relate to a wastewater project. But we don't have the liberty to say that, hey, anything that we think might be important to do on the water supply, we're just going to incorporate it into the wastewater project. We think it's very, very important to adhere to the integrity of the ISJ, to work in cooperation with the water purveyors to take those next steps beyond a wastewater project for the overall best management of the basin and for the elimination of seawater intrusion. And so, like in many things, there's different roles and responsibilities. The county has a specific role on a wastewater project. As Mr. Hutchinson has indicated, we believe that the analysis we've done and the work that has resulted puts the community in a very good situation to maximize, you know, water management practices and the overall basin management in the future. But that's something that we have to do in cooperation with the community and not just based on the county's sole authority. And there's this roles and responsibility issues. And then also there's the issue of equity, because we already recognize that there are many people concerned in the community that the individuals who live within the prohibition zone are the only individuals who are paying for a wastewater project. Well, if we heaped on top of that everything that's necessary on a water management side, then the people in the prohibition would be paying for all of the costs of the wastewater system, and the people in the prohibition zone would be paying for all of the costs associated with basin management. And by engaging with the purveyors, it provides the very best opportunity to make sure that the cost equity.
Next question is, what does the county think the cost will be for the undeveloped property in a second 218 vote?
The concept behind the second 218 vote is that those undeveloped properties would be have an assessment that's for their proportional share of the wastewater project, which would be the exact same formula that's used in the first Prop 218. So if you have a vacant lot that can be where a single family dwelling unit can be built on it, then it's going to be the dollar amount of almost $25,000, right? It was just a hair short of $25,000. But in the second Prop 218, which under consideration with the and working with the ISG, the water purveyors and everything, the question is, should this really be called a resource type of a project rather than just a wastewater project? So that one component would be the wastewater, and the second component then would be the water supply infrastructure that's necessary to accommodate those vacant lots. But the dollar amount on that second component has yet to be determined. So the first component on the wastewater side would be the same formula. The second component to cover water-related costs to accommodate those undeveloped properties has yet to be calculated. That's the work that's ongoing with through the part of the work with the ISJ process. The third issue that might be incorporated into this resource assessment would be costs associated with the habitat conservation plan. But those are a lot more difficult to get our arms around right now. And I think the focus has to be the actual infrastructure of wastewater and water, and then we'll see how the Habitat Conservation Plan develops as we go down the road.
And a follow-up from this submittal. How many properties will the 218 vote cover or encompass? Do you know that?
Don't know it off the top of my head, but it's basically, you know, the undeveloped properties. And whether we stay within the prohibition zone or whether we cover water-related costs outside the prohibition zone is work that has yet to be decided, and policies that, you know, your board and the county board and Golden State will have to consider in the future.
Thanks. And then what will be the future for Cabrillo Estates in terms of, I'm assuming in terms of ability to hook up to a wastewater project?
You know, anybody who doesn't have the mandatory hookup required by the regional board can certainly come forward and ask, you know, that they be incorporated into the project, and then we'll work with them. But the county doesn't, you know, we don't mandate connections to wastewater systems, so it would have to be on a voluntary basis unless sometime in the future the regional board establishes a mandate.
Okay, just one last question. Has any one person or group of people delayed the county process since the county began to implement AB 2701?
No. Should I say not yet, or should I just say no? I mean, we really haven't. We've been, you know, there's been, you know, debate about what the county should and shouldn't be doing, and we have modified some of our early strategies. But the point there is that we are able to modify some of the early strategies in order to accommodate community requests by incorporating them into the work that we had to do anyhow. So nobody's delayed us. Nobody's deferred us. A lot of decision-making is going to be happening in 2009. So we'll see, you know, what the future holds. But so far, you know, when we really get down to it, it's been, you know, very positive. The TAC involvement was great. There's been a lot of public comment, keeping our, you know, ears open, even when people are, you know, not always as nice as you might, you know, hope that they might be. The design-build process itself was something that was a recommendation that came through public comment. So there's been some really valuable input. Nobody's created any delays, and hopefully that will continue to be the case.
That's the last question I have from the submittals. I think there might have been some other comments that were related to specific, I'm not going to say challenges, but maybe data or assertions in the EIR. And I guess, as you've indicated, they should submit those to the county, and the basis by which they are challenged or submitted, so that the county can evaluate that, as Mr. Hutchinson pointed out. Okay, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and bring it back to the board for any
director. Excuse me, I think you didn't get my question, and I would like it answered. It was, could you describe to the community the size of the facility that is proposed in this project for, and who will pay for the property?
I didn't get that question.
Yeah, whether we got it or not, I don't know. But all the...
Excuse me. Are you talking about if there's a pumping facility there?
No,
I'm asking about the question.
Mr. Ohiske, I don't want to have a dialogue with you. No. I'm going to take a second to look at it.
It is in the EIR. Perhaps Pavo or
Ms. Owen.
Brandeman could explain the size of that facility.
I'm not allowing this right now. Thanks.
How big would it be, and what would be done with the rest of the property? I think that's what she's trying to ask.
So if we get the state guy to say that the state's not giving anybody grants.
Let me ask this, Mr. Ogren. You talked earlier in your presentation about an MOU regarding the Midtown property. And so I'm going to try to paraphrase, can you elaborate more on that MOU? Can you talk in terms of what the project might use on that property? You know, how large of how much area that property would be used? And, you know, give some more clarification.
Okay, so there's two really issues there. One is what might the Midtown site be used for in connection with a wastewater project that we could be developing. And the idea that a pump station would be, you know, a potential use of that site. Mark, do you know how much of the acreage that pump station might take up? How it's identified in the EIR?
The EIR identifies a pump station at the southeast corner, so near the corner of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road. We looked, the EIR says plus or minus a tenth of an acre. It's probably going to be on the high end of that to get a pump station. Majority of that facility is underground. But there'd be an electrical building about the size of a single-family residence, about the same height, that would set on the back corner of the property, obviously, is the way you would put it away from the corner. So it'd be a residential-sized structure on the back corner of the property. So maybe a quarter of an acre consumed so that we could get the setback and then some landscaping in front of it. And we have to handle the drainage from that building. So the majority of the pump station, which depending on how it's designed, is as small as 12 feet diameter and underground, but the electrical stuff in a building on top of it.
And then with respect to the other comment on the MOU, the question becomes, we already know that ESHA was impacted on that particular site, and we know that, you know, the CSD has sought to take down the fences, but the challenge is that you have to have a permit to do that. How is the mitigation of the impacts on Tri-W going to be dealt with? If we're going to use a portion of the site for a wastewater project, how are the resource agencies going to respond to us? Are they going to express the expectation that we restore the site as part of our project? What does the CSD want to do with the remainder of the site? And so the basic concept is that this issue of what the resource agencies expect as part of mitigation versus what your CSD might envision in terms of future use of that site, that might lend us into an MOU type of an effort. Do we have any preconceived ideas of what that MOU might look like? You know, other than trying to make sure we can move forward with the wastewater project, responding to resource agencies with respect to the impacts that have already been occurred, and what your board has envisioned for potential future use. I mean, it's as simple as that, and then that's the basis for trying to think about an MOU.
Thanks. And that's the rest of the questions. Thanks, Mrs. Owen. I appreciate your submittal. And with that, we'll bring it back to our board for further discussion or questions of county staff or our staff at this time. Yeah, Director Sennett.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to thank you for that presentation. Tagging along to the last comment regarding Tri-W site, or Midtown site, I'm sorry. At one time, there was a supposed strong sentiment in the community for public amenities, recreational facilities, and it was actually funded by the SRF loan. If we were to reincorporate those amenities, now understanding that we wouldn't use as much of
the SRF loan, the park amenities shouldn't have been funded by the SRF loan because it was just something the CSD wanted to do. Well, that agreement could very well have resulted from the tug of war on identifying appropriate mitigation measures. We don't see the amenities as being a mitigation measure associated with the project because the treatment plant is being taken out of town. Now, it might happen that in the course of permitting, something gets established as a mitigation requirement, in which case, you know, we're going to have to do it, and then we would apply for the SRF funds. But again, because the treatment plant has been, you know, moved out of town based on all the work that we've done, at least, I mean, there's always the possibility that the resource agencies, you know, through their wisdom, push the treatment plant back into town. I'm not expecting that to happen, but you know, the bottom line is, since the treatment plant's not at that site, then we don't see the correlation to mitigation for public amenities or park-like settings. But again, that mitigation process can be a tug of war, so we'll just have to sort of wait and see how it happens.
Vice President Ohilski.
I appreciate the update to the CSD, and I appreciate your identifying the issues that need to be addressed by the CSD in cooperation with the county. If you could just give us a brief overview, and I know this is a question that you could take forever to answer, but the status of your discussions with the other various regulatory agencies involved, such as the Coastal Commission, Regional Water Quality, et cetera, and what their response and to the proposals have been to this point or the process?
Well, certainly I can provide an overview. Of course, at this point in time, all the discussions have been on an informal basis. We have sent letters with it. When we sent the draft EIR to the various resource agencies, we sent a cover letter to each one because normally, you know, a resource agency is going to provide comments on a draft EIR. And then we asked each of them to focus on specific issues. So, for example, the Department of Public Health, we asked them to, really look at our plan for the utilization of Broderson as a disposal project and not as a recharge project, because that's something that's, you know, true to the hearts of the individuals at the Department of Public Health. With respect to the Coastal Commission, since a prior coastal development permit had been issued on a project in Los Osos, the discussions have really focused around that prior coastal development permit, the appropriation of the appropriateness of the conditions that have been previously issued, their applicability to our work project, and for the most part, on all the resource agencies, our pleadings have been to maintain as much consistency as possible with the prior deliberations, because they all came out there and made determinations. One example is the dedication of 72 out of the 80 acres at the Broderson site. We have been very clear with them that we will continue to honor, you know, the dedication of that 72 out of those 80 acres. One of the individuals in public comment asked about, you know, eucalyptus trees and 8 acres and stuff, and the idea is we have to identify the 8 acres that will be impacted and then the 72 acres that will be dedicated forever. So, again, it's been an informal process, and a lot of it has been reviewing prior permits and prior conditions, trying to maintain as much consistency as possible, and then focusing on, you know, how might the facilities change. So, for example, the Tanini site or any of the sites that would be out of town will all have agricultural impacts on agricultural lands, so made sure to talk with the Ag Commissioner's office about what's the typical appropriate mitigation for impacts on ag land, and that would require essentially purchasing of conservation easement or ag easements over basically an equal number of acres so that there is ag land that is preserved in perpetuity. So it's that general sort of nature of discussions. Because of the prior history, we are optimistic that we can get through the formal permitting much faster. Again, precedent has already been set. The overall tone of the discussions has been pretty positive. You know, obviously each agency has their particular issues they're concerned about, but unanimously all of the agencies have been supportive of the need to move forward, to get the project done, and to, you know, to stop the leaking and the, you know, contamination that's going into the bay currently. So they've been supportive, but there have been a lot of issues.
Director Kelly.
I think I have a two-part or a three-part question. With the expediting of the process and the design-build process specifically in regards to CSD's assets and property, right-of-ways, easements, just any of the other properties that would be required for the construction phase of this project, what's the proposal? I mean, once the Board of Supervisors makes the resolution,
a whole bunch of assets and everything, but then it says, oh, and everything else that we might have forgotten, missed or whatever. So I think just, you know, working with your staff, your legal counsel, we certainly expect that most of the work effort is going to be, you know, funded through our project efforts and through our, you know, consultants and everything.
Any questions or Director Sennett?
I had a question about, you know, the shovel-ready portion of the project is going to be supposedly the gravity collection. Now, will the state fund either in grant or loan a portion of the project that's shovel-ready when there's a portion of the project that may not be shovel-ready?
We certainly hope so. We believe that they should. Here's the key is that the final EIR, the coastal development permit, those are the things that have to identify the entirety of the project. And then what we would be doing is saying, hey, in terms of proceeding with construction, we're going to break it into components. Now, that's the same way that any large project is done. Our Nacimiento Water Project has 5 different contract phases. I believe it's 5. We've got an intake tower, storage tanks and pertinent facilities, and 3 separate sections of the collection system. So, again, EIR, Coastal Development Permit, they have to consider the project as a whole, but when we move into construction, it's pretty common to break it into phases. In fact, the prior CSD project had, you know, 3 different contractors and a number of different phases associated with construction. So that, though, is – so we believe that it should be possible. We certainly are hopeful, but that's part of the discussions that we'll be talking about at the State Water Board workshops, and also at – you know, we go up to Sacramento and we give project updates to the State Water Board, and that will be part of the discussions the next time we go up later this month.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Any questions or comments from staff? I don't have any additional questions. The staff report asked to receive the presentation, and again, I want to thank Supervisor Gibson and county staff for coming tonight. As far as our board, and I don't think we had any specific direction plan for tonight, unless some directors want to have some, for discussion purposes, my thoughts is we've talked about an MOU and that we might want to consider directing staff to engage with county staff to develop a framework for an MOU on disposition of assets or other issues.
I do have, there was one other issue raised that I think that I'd like to have staff address. And I think Mark raised it in his presentation, was any comments that we may have for the DEIR relative to operations of the wastewater system. I think that's something that staff needs to look at when we have our meeting on the 29th to discuss comments to the EIR. I'd just like to see staff prepare wastewater operation comments if we have any, which I assume we will. I know we've already set up an ad hoc committee to look at other issues that affect the CSD, and we have the ISJ that's working on comments. So I think that this is an area that I don't know that we've specifically identified before, but I think it's something that staff needs to look at to bring back on the 29th.
Can I just ask Director Hilsey something for clarification? When you were saying taking a look at the operation side of the project, are you referring to the actual plant operation, or are you referring to the electrical consumption? Or
no, I was referring to when Mr. Hutchinson said under 2701 that after the three-year period of time, the option is to take it, or for the CSD to take over operations, that we look at the wastewater operations, the operation of the facility, not the consumption of utilities. If there's confusion, I would suggest staff talk to Mr. Hutchinson directly and address his issues. It was in one of his overheads, so.
The question had to be by surprise, and obviously I'm legal counsel, and maybe it's out of my bailiwick here. But it seems to me the operation issues are going to be tied more to the response for qualifications when you take a look at specific projects and what the specific characteristics of the design are going to be is what, to me, is primarily going to drive the operation of the facility. Now, having looked at a number of these projects, it's going to be difficult. I mean, we could write a comment saying we believe that a project that has, you know, no more
specifically incorporate this into your design. So the effect of any type of a design, if it's an ox ditch, biolac, or ponds, those different types of treatment processes are going to have different operating implications. And if there's one or two in particular that the CSD just simply doesn't like because of the operational impacts, then we want to hear that. With respect to, somebody had made comments that, you know, the pump stations that are lower and closer to the bay, does the CSD think it's appropriate to incorporate sort of basically spill tanks, and some of the agencies are doing things like that. Napomo Community Services District for operations has overflow tanks at some of their lift stations. So these are things that, you know, you've got operators on board who say, look, we think that certain things should be incorporated into the design of a project from an operational perspective. Mr. Hutchinson, you know, and Gene Talmadge are leading the environmental efforts. Other individuals are looking at it from a fiscal perspective. But again, if your operators have any certain preferences from an operating side, we'd like to hear them as well.
Is that adequate direction then to staff? Thank you.
Yes. Is that, I think that's adequate direction. And is there any objection from the rest of the board on providing that direction to staff? We don't need a motion for that, do we, Mr. Seitz, or do you think we need a motion for that?
I think we have enough direction. At least, John, do you feel like you have enough direction? Okay.
And again, I'd like to see staff begin engaging with county on developing a framework for an MOU.
That I think would require a motion, because now we're going to be, you're going to be directing some of our consultants to participate in forming an MOU. So in that situation, I would prefer to have a motion.
Let me ask
on
staff,
that issue.
Let me ask staff a question. Do you think at this time that's needed, or do you think should we wait until a later milestone, such as the comment period from the EIR? I'd like to get staff's input, because it is going to take some consultant expense. So is that something you'd like to think about further and maybe come back with a recommendation later on a consent agenda? I know it's difficult for you to...
The answer is yes. Okay. We'd like to... just to get the comments in on the EIR before the 30th is going to be a push. But I understand what you're saying and your question, and we certainly want to address that early on in February if we possibly can.
Thanks.
I'm assuming that meets the county's needs and issues.
Certainly does. We just wanted to start putting it on the radar screen at this time.
Director Kelly, any other comments? Okay. Well, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. I'd like to again thank everybody for attending and coming, our staff, Supervisor Gibson, and county staff. And we look forward again to the continuation of this process and culminating eventually with the completion of a wastewater project for Los Osos. Any other director closing comments? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.